Hello, my lovely spinners, and welcome to my podcast, Spinning a Yarn at the Spinning Barn. I hope to inspire, motivate, and entertain you with stories from my little farm and, of course, from the barn. So, whether you are a returning listener or have just tuned in for the first time, you are all really welcome. So, pull up a chair and allow yourself to indulge in some relaxation for a few minutes while I tell you all about what's been happening here over the past month. Well, here we are on October the 1st, 2021, and I just don't know how the month of September slipped by so fast. One minute it was here, and the next it was gone, off into the autumnal sunsets and the stormy skies, which have swapped places quite suddenly, I think, with the splendidly big blue skies for which Norfolk is renowned. But as autumn offers so many other natural splendours, I shall embrace it and grow accustomed to the change, I'm sure. Today, the rain has been beating down. However, the sky is now bright blue again, I've just noticed looking out my window. And it didn't actually deter my builders who actually installed the roof trusses on my house extension. How exciting! It's all coming together nicely, and I almost feel a bit apprehensive as I know that soon I shall have to make big decisions over things like kitchen designs and such things. My trouble is that I see something I really like, but know that I shall get bored very quickly. So usually I tend to lean towards the more traditional design, which some may call the more boring design, perhaps, I don't know. I'm just not brave in any area of my life, really, so who knows how this will pan out. I'm sure it will be fabulous. And I shall, of course, keep you all updated. Now, as you know, we're still slowly extending the spinning barn to incorporate a second adjoining barn. And James is actually working really hard to complete that before he has to divert his full attention to the works that he'll be completing on the house. Yes, he does work incredibly hard, and right now I can hear my mother saying, "Oh, poor James," as she so often does. She must think that I actually force him to do the work, when in reality I wish he would just take a day off occasionally. He just doesn't seem to have an off switch. Which reminds me, we did actually do just that at the beginning of September when we visited the Sandringham Country Fair, which was fabulous and will always be our favourite show. It's right on our doorstep, it's so accessible, and it just has a fabulous atmosphere. I love it there. And we were enthralled by the equestrian activities, of course. There were no sheep, and in particular by the carriage driving. Now, this is something that I've always fancied trying, and James actually surprised me last year with a voucher for our wedding anniversary for 3 carriage driving lessons. Yeah, I know that sounds unusual, doesn't it, as a wedding anniversary present, but it related to however many years we were married, 32 I think, which was supposed to relate to transport. So there was a good link there actually, wasn't there? So I managed to actually take those carriage driving lessons in September, and oh my goodness, I am hooked. I love it. Now, as I don't ride my horse anymore, I really wanted another way to connect to horses, and decided that our little pony Tinkerbell would make a great driving pony. And so far, she is doing a brilliant job. She is proving to be brave, steady, and strong. I haven't got the carriage yet. We've been doing all the long reining and all the training, and she's had her harness on and she hasn't flinched. She's been amazing, so fingers crossed. Now all I need to do is work out how to marry together this new hobby with my spinning endeavours, and I shall have the perfect combination of sustainability and pleasure. Win-win. Anyway, let me move on to the matter which has become very prominent in my mind recently, and that is wool. No surprises there, I hear you say. And I'm sure I'm not alone in feeling so frustrated, upset, and angry at what I see as the absolute disrespect, really, of this incredibly versatile resource, which we have happily growing in our fields, but I feel compelled to do something about it in whatever way I can. So I hope you're with me on this, and I'll just talk you through my thoughts on the subject, really, and I'd really love to hear what you have to say about it as well. Now, I know that this is a subject which is far more complex than I can possibly discuss here in a few minutes, but I feel that if I can at least highlight the positive attributes that we can develop, even on a personal level, then my hope is that that will impact the bigger picture. I know that the cost of industrial processes make manufacturing wool products unrealistic in our huge global economy, but that is one of the main issues that upsets me. We have the most amazing, hard-working, dedicated farmers who continue to rear their sheep at such high financial costs that it would probably be more viable to throw in the woolen towel and diversify or change direction completely. And although many have, you know, James has came in and really disrupted me again. You know, many farmers have actually done just that. They have thrown in the towel, but there are also many that carry on only to earn a pittance for the pleasure. And I believe that the prices paid to farmers in 2019 to 2020 for their fleeces averaged 32 pence per kilogram. Within that, the mountain breeds achieved 15 pence per kilogram and fine white breeds 70 pence per kilogram. Thankfully, that average increased in 2021 to 72 pence per kilogram, but that still does not cover the cost of shearing the sheep, which again averages about a pound a sheep. Now, I actually pay my shearer far more than that, and I am happy to do so. That cost enables a very skilled craftsman to continue this valuable work, which in turn supports the farmer's needs, filtering down to the needs of us craftspeople who do value the fleece. And not least, shearing is absolutely necessary for the welfare of the animal to keep them comfortable and free of flies whose maggots would literally eat the animal alive. It's horrendous and takes good management to prevent it. And even with the best management, sometimes it still happens. I have to say, with my North Ronaldsies, I have never experienced it on them. They're renowned for it not affecting them for some reason. But I have experienced it on a different down breed of sheep previously, and it's not a pleasant thing. I've also seen my sheep really, really struggling, and I was really worried that they were probably going to die of heat stroke during the 30 plus degrees, because the weather changes from day to day sometimes, and it's so hard to time it. And we are really quite restricted with, you know, the calendar of the shearer as well. We have to work very closely together to make this work well for the animals and for their welfare. Now, I also know that many people feel that shearing sheep and breeding them to use their wool is unethical. And in part, I can understand that. I keep rare breed sheep who historically would have, and still would, given the right conditions, shed their fleece by rubbing it along the hedgerows for mankind to gather up at their leisure. However, sheep have been developed over the centuries to enable them to live in a variety of landscapes and climates to provide meat, milk, and wool to sustain us. And they are still here, still providing for us, and deserve the best care possible. And again, this is a huge subject which I could debate here for hours on end, but let's just focus on the matter in hand, the preservation of our sheep farming industry by the use of what is effectively an incredible byproduct. For meat farmers, wool just happens to grow on the animal and has to be removed. For small flock owners like myself, the wool is the only product provided by these incredible animals, but either way, it still has to be used effectively and efficiently. Historically, the wealth of our great nation came from the sales of wool and the associated taxes. The 100-year war was funded by such taxes. The most elaborate of our churches were built thanks to the generous donations of landowners, hence the title Wool Churches. And to this day, the Lord Speaker in the House of Lords, and previously the Lord Chancellor, sits upon a wool sack, which symbolises the great importance of the wool trade to the economy. It's just occurred to me while I'm saying this, they're actually sitting there on it in in our government, in our... It's already should be in people's minds. It's currently under somebody's bottom, isn't it? It's so obvious, isn't it? But we all know that things change or progress, whether in ways we agree with or not. But change, they have. One only has to get out the family album to see the changes in fashion, and it becomes very evident which era those photos were taken in, doesn't it? And if I think back to my youth, and no, that wasn't that long ago, everyone wore very similar clothes, had the same hairstyles, and so on. And I believe that is partly where the problem lies. I think we have just become so accustomed now to just being able to have anything we want, change our minds about anything. And I think due to the progress in fibre processing, design, manufacturing and global trade, fashion in particular has become so accessible, but also so varied. So whether we choose corporate workwear, goth, boho, preppy, grunge, or casual, I'll have no idea what my sense of dress actually is called, if it even has a name. But we can change our wardrobes on a whim. We can dispose of so last year or yesterday, shade of blue or style of shoe. And this is the point that is really sitting so uncomfortably with me. I was actually sitting in bed this morning, drinking my cup of tea, flicking through my phone, and I was about to order some new t-shirts and some jumpers for the winter. And I actually cancelled the order. I thought, what on earth am I doing? I spin my wool. I should be using it and knitting and making myself something. So I have pledged to myself that I'm actually going to improve my knitting. I might make a whole peculiar range of garments along the way, but I'm going to do everything I can to use the resource that I have got sitting around me all the time and not rely on just getting something delivered the next day. That's got to stop, hasn't it? Now, it's no secret that the manufacture of man-made fibres is based on oil, and such practices create a huge impact environmentally, doesn't it? But it does facilitate cheap disposable fabrics. Now, again, that's another entirely different subject for debate, that people have to be able to access cheap clothing or affordable clothing. That's completely different, isn't it, really? And I'm all for that as well, as a whole other area. But it does also allow us to recreate ourselves in terms of fashion ideals, and even in how we design our home interiors, which is something that I'm going to have to be considering when I start thinking about the interiors of my property as well, my new house. So, what can wool offer us as a good alternative then? Let's have a look at that, shall we, and think about that. So, firstly, wool is sustainable and renewable. Now, as I said earlier, wool grows naturally on the sheep, despite the intended use for the animal. It simply needs a balanced diet, particularly over the winter and during pregnancy, for example, which they find in the well-managed grassy fields, if nothing else, in which they live. Fields which are also managed in such amazing ways as to provide habitat and food for a whole range of other wildlife too, not to mention maintain the beautiful countryside which we can all enjoy too, which we probably take for granted. These things don't just appear on their own, do they? Well, they do, but they do need managing, yeah, of course. And the wool is shorn every year and simply grows again. Simple. A fleece sheared from my sheep can be processed into a garment, for example, without even exiting through my gateway. The whole process of preparation, spinning, and knitting takes place within several hundred yards between my fields, my barn, and my comfy sofa. Although, if we're considering the utilisation of wool on a grander scale nationally, obviously there would be greater considerations. But if all of us spinners do our bit to help educate the masses, then I know that we can offer support even one jumper at a time, or one hat at a time. It doesn't matter what it is, it's just a case of doing it, isn't it? And wool is also the most incredibly diverse fibre, with a vast range of properties, from superfine, which can be worn next to the skin, to coarser breeds, most suited to carpet manufacturing. But whatever the properties of any particular sheep, there will always be an application for it. I make garden twine using very coarse wool from my grey-faced Dartmoor sheep. But equally, I will use the softest North Ronaldsey to make scarves and shawls, etc. And it can be used in a whole range of crafts. There's no limit, really, from spinning, knitting, crochet, macrame, weaving, felting, tapestry, the list goes on. It can be used in our construction industry. We can use it for, oh goodness to me, off the top of my head, it's used for insulation, isn't it? I saw on Country Farm recently where they were making tree sapling supports from felted wool. Just incredible, because it's just biodegradable. It breaks down over the years and you don't end up with those little bits of plastic either blowing around all over the place or getting stuck in the ground. So it's just so obvious, isn't it, when you think about it? And with so much clothing now going into landfill, biodegradability has to be a paramount consideration too. So man-made fibres can take about 40 years plus to degrade, whereas wool, which is made, is a protein, it's made of keratin like our own hair, and that takes considerably less time with no ecological, I can't say that word, ecological damage at all. Now, as an example, I left a fleece in my garden in the spring. Within weeks, it had started to break down. I regularly add it to my compost or use it in the veg plot with great results. Now, synthetic fibres, on the other hand, will also shed plastic particles, which are washed into the oceans with devastating effects, which we've all been witnessing. Effects which actually have reduced me to tears. And it's, you know, when you get a feeling like that, it's something that spurs you on, isn't it, to try and help make you want to do something to help. And such problems can be reduced if we think about the content of our garments and how we keep them clean. Wool is incredibly resilient and hard wearing, and you'll probably become bored with a jumper before it even starts to wear out. It repels stains more easily and therefore doesn't need to be washed so often. With the fact that it's breathable too, enabling us to simply hang it out on the line on a sunny breezy day to freshen it up. And also, please don't think of woolen garments as being heavy cable knit jumpers. It's equally appropriate for fine, lightweight garments too, and it's also becoming increasingly popular for sportswear. Just check out Andy Murray's tennis kit from this year. Amazing stuff. Actually, I had a leaflet through the post the other day from a big sportswear manufacturer and distributor, and they had a section in there actually of woolen-based products, but I didn't look at it closely enough to see exactly what the content percentage was. I might have to fish that back out of the recycling bin and have a look actually. So as spinners, weavers, knitters, what can we do to make a difference? Well, it might seem like we can't do very much, but in fact there is lots. There are lots of us little fish in this big wide pond in which we all live, and I'm sure that we can all do something. All I suggest is please continue to buy wool and woolen products. And ask for information about wool content. What is the percentage? Where has it come from? Where is it processed? Etc. etc. Be prepared to pay a reasonable price for a fleece. We all like to be given something, of course we do, and I have been given fleeces, I've had so many this year, but again, I've distributed those amongst others to try and spread the word of, you know, this fleece came from an animal that was destined for meat. It still grew the fleece, and boy, it was incredible. The crimp on that was amazing. It was just beautiful. So hopefully that, you know, having shared that, it will encourage people to use fleece again, use wool, and really develop a feel for it and an understanding for it as well. So even though wool is often just a meat market byproduct, that animal has still incurred management costs. So spin with projects in mind. Autumn is here now and it's time to refresh our winter wardrobes. So get those spinning wheels spinning and those knitting needles clicking and consider ways to wear wool and educate your family and friends along the way. There's still time to create the best ever woolly hats and socks for Christmas. Who doesn't love hats and socks for Christmas? But if there's a story behind it, if the recipient knows where that came from, and particularly if you can say, look, this is the sheep. I often like to give a picture of my sheep so that whoever buys my, whether it's an item or whether it's just some wool to be spun, that they know exactly where it's come from. And I think that sort of connection is something that really makes people think about it. I mean, just look at that cute little face of that little sheep. It's an incredible thing. It really does help with that connection and that understanding. So, that seemed like quite a long rant, didn't it, this month? And I'm really thankful if you've listened to the end. Thank you. It is something that I feel very strongly about. I really feel we just cannot continue to keep wasting such a beautiful and versatile resource. You know, you've seen so many pictures on the internet, on social media over this year of fleeces being thrown away, being burnt, and just going to waste. But luckily, I've also seen lots of stories of people that are also trying to regenerate this industry, to really use, to gather, whether it's by breed or by type or whatever, whether it's just from a particular locality, and actually creating businesses out of this. And I think that has got to be the way forward. You know, lots of little people like us making a big noise always helps. I've also become involved in a project called A Dress of Many Yarns, I believe, on Facebook. And I've been working closely with Joanne, talking about how we're actually going to produce the fibre and what the yarn for the project, which is to, for lots of people to spin a certain amount of yarn. All the information is there, actually, and you can send it to her, and she is going to create this crocheted wedding dress. How incredible is that? As a way of highlighting the versatility of our wool. As I said before, don't think of it always as a prickly old jumper. It's not. There is so much more that we can do with it. You know, this country was once made great, and I believe that it will be again, if only we give it the chance. I think this world is in a right old pickle, and we have just what nature gave us, and it's going to help us if only we let it. So let's use it. I hope you're with me on this one then. I hope to hear lots of stories from you all, lots of photographs of things you have been making. Show me those hats, those gloves, those scarves, those jumpers, those dresses, that all sorts of things that you can be doing. The woolen rugs for your house, anything, it doesn't matter what it is, but let's use it. Okay, enough from me. I've got Ted sitting here beside me whining because it's past his dinner time. I've just said the word and he's looked up at me. And he's ready. That's Ted the dog, for those who don't know. Ted is not a person. So, love to you all, and I shall look forward to chatting with you again at the beginning of November. Okay, thank you so much. Love to you all, and bye for now. Thank you.